welcome to another inspirational message from Pastor Noor. For more information and great content, jump over to our website at elamchurchchristchurchcity.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
We're starting a new series called Alignment. I feel like God is wanting to align your life so that you are at full strength. Amen. Trouble comes when we fall out of alignment. Often trouble happens in our lives when something's rocked us, something's kind of shaken us, and we've fallen out of alignment. I praise God that He always makes a way for us to realign our lives. Amen. If you've said yes to Jesus once in your life, that was you aligning your life with the Lord. I think that's the ultimate goal for all of God's creation. Amen. I feel like that's the goal. But then there's the ongoing work of staying in alignment, of walking in step with the Spirit and allowing God through His Holy Spirit to keep you walking in the direction that you're supposed to be walking in. Does this make sense this morning? I feel like I'm already preaching and I haven't started anything. Over the next few weeks, over our three campuses, if you didn't realize, we have three campuses, one in Belfast, the other in Burnside, and of course our church in Bowen. So that's the fourth one. And so we are all in alignment on this series. And this is the first collaborative series that we're doing together. So if you happen to be visiting one of our other campuses, you'll see that we are all in sync. Amen. I want to start this morning by sharing a well-known story. This is an old fable story, and it's called The Emperor's New Clothes. How many remember reading that? Okay. Dang, I was hoping to kind of paraphrase the story. Anyway, two con men arrived at the capital city of an emperor who spends lavishly on clothing at the expense of the state matters. Posing as weavers, they offer to supply him with magnificent clothes that are invisible to those who are stupid or incompetent. The emperor hires them, and they set up looms and go to work. A succession of officials and then the emperor himself visit them to check on their progress. Each sees that the looms are empty, but pretends otherwise to avoid being thought of as a fool. Finally, the weavers report to the emperor that his suit is complete. They mime dressing him, and he sets off in a procession before the whole city. The townsfolk uncomfortably go along with the pretense, not wanting to appear inept or stupid, until a child blurts out that the emperor is wearing nothing at all. The people then realize that everyone had been fooled by these con men. They, although startled, the emperor continues the procession, walking more proudly than ever. We often find ourselves and being lured into the culture of our day, and often that flies in contrast or direct contradiction to the culture of the kingdom of God. Does anybody hear me this morning? But often we, as Christians, we will find ourselves in situations where we're going to be tested, where we're going to face trials, where we're going to face circumstances, where we're going to have to choose which culture we're going to submit ourselves to. I don't know if you realize this, but there is a kingdom culture where God sits, where God operates. It's called heaven, and God is wanting to establish that culture here on earth. Remember when He taught us the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, "Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He was wanting the culture of heaven, the language of heaven, the atmosphere of heaven to be established on earth. I actually am in the camp where I believe that God is actually wanting to establish the new heaven here with the people. Amen. It's not actually us being removed from here, but here coming, the kingdom coming down to earth. Amen. And there will be it talks about a new heaven and a new earth. It talks about a new Jerusalem, a new city. And there is freedom in this place. There is wholeness, there is grace, there is love, there is all a peace in this place. Amen. But currently, that might not be your experience. We're looking at the book of Colossians, or the letter, Paul's letter to the church in Colossians, because it's a reflective of the church today, I believe, in many ways. The church today, in many ways, is under attack. We're being lured into a style of living and a style of being that is actually flying in direct contrast to the that which we are taught in Scripture. Does that make sense this morning? I don't know if you've ever experienced it yourself. Maybe in casual conversation with people you know, your friends, colleagues, even family. And when the topic of Christianity comes up, you know, there is a tension in the room. Well, where once was everybody was happy, now there's tension in the room. And often that tension is there because there are two opposing cultures at work. Does that make sense this morning? And this was directly the case with this church in Colossae. So let's have a look at the scriptures, and I hope you've done your homework. I won't get everyone to raise their hands if they did their homework, but we had a bit of homework last week. The homework was to read chapter 1 of Colossians. It'll save me reading it in front of you. And but I realize that I'm speaking to people who are a work in progress, okay? I remember when my high school teachers used to tell me, "Noo, you need to do your homework." I would say, "Yeah, I'll get to it." The morning of, when it was due, that's when I would start. Yeah, amen. And so let's look at this. Let's look at this chapter. This is what it says: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God for the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love, of the love you have for all God's people. There it is. The faith and love that spring from hope stored up in heaven. Oh my goodness, this is going to be a long message today. I'm sorry. About which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. Oh, here we go. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is your faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. You guys should be underlining that one. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, giving joyful thanks to our Father who has qualified you to share in his inheritance, in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sin. I'm going to keep going. Verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Verse 21, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith with established and firm and do not move from the hope held in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Amen. Wow, there was a bit there, wasn't it? There was tension in this church. Church that Paul did not actually plant. It was planted by this man named Epaphras. And Epaphras went to Rome and met with Paul, told him about what was going on, said to him, hey, the church that I planted, the church that was full of fire, the church that was birthed by the Holy Spirit, and they had gathered all these people to worship the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that church is now being split apart. There are other doctrines, other teachings that are infiltrating into that church. What do I do? Paul's response was amazing. Paul's response was instant, and it was precise. There is always tension wherever you go. You have to be buried under a rock not to sense tension. Amen, somebody. I mean, the minute you call yourself a Christian, you say, "Well, actually, I'm a Christian. I go to church." It's like take one step back, stage exit, stage left. You know, it was like, nobody wants to talk to you, you know. And so there's always this tension. But I'm here to tell us, here to encourage us this morning, that God is calling us to stand firm. That the word of the Lord for us all here this morning is this: stand firm. In the midst of your tension, in the midst of trials that you face because of your faith, stand firm. You're going to have to stand firm. When there is struggle, when there is tension, stand firm. Number one, in the true gospel. Amen. Paul talks about a true gospel. The flip side of that is that there must have been a false gospel that was being delivered as well. Now, there were two main groups in Colossae at work at this time. There were the Jews who were teaching Judaism, and they were teaching the Torah and the practices of the law. And that was superseding this message of God's grace. Amen. It was confusing the church. The same issue happened in the church in Galatia, where again, they were being told, okay, now that you've become a Christian, you need to follow the law of Moses. You need to be circumcised. You need to eat certain foods. You need to wear certain garments. And there was all of a sudden this pressure or this tension and confusion hit the church. Are you guys hearing this morning? The other line of thinking that was common was this: the church in Colossae was actually largely, it was about 90% were Greeks, it were Gentiles. And so the Greek theology or Greek teachings was all about polytheism. Do you know what polytheism is? It's more than one God. There were multiple gods. So when they heard this group had become converts to Christianity, well, they said, wow, that's fine. You can just slot Jesus in with the other gods that we have on display. Again, there was this false gospel at work. I believe in our culture today, there's numerous very subtle teachings that are infiltrating the church that is confusing people. It's not just the overt ones, the ones that we're used to, you know, if the media portrays, you know, I talked about this a few weeks ago, of that prosperity preaching. You know, you give 10 cents and God's going to multiply that. You know, that's like prosperity preaching. Just keep giving, just keep giving, just keep giving, because God wants to bless you. He's gonna multiply there. I don't read that in Scripture. When I read Scripture, it says, sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, and you just come follow me. Whatever you, I'll look after you. But there's no guarantee that you're going to be a millionaire if you give $100. Does that make sense? But God, you are guaranteed this. God will never leave you nor forsake you. So there are multiple types of very subtle teachings of different types of doctrine and gospels that have infiltrated into the church. I'm here to remind us all that like this church in Colossae, we need to discover and stick to the true gospel. There really is only one gospel message. If you want to know what the true gospel message is, Paul wrote it to the church in Corinth when he reminded them that it was Jesus who lived a sinless life. He died on a cross for our sins. He was buried in a tomb, and then 3 days later, he rose again. And because he became the lamb that was sacrificed, our sins can be forgiven. Amen. That's the true gospel. That's the true message of hope, the true message of redemption. Anything outside of that is you've got a test. Amen. If people start adding to that gospel message and say, well, no, you've got to do this as well. There are actually a lot of other criteria that you have to meet in order to be truly saved. I want to stamp that out. Amen, somebody. Remind us all that, no, there is, the Bible says that that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one can go to the Father except through me, the Son. No amount of memory verses in your brain is going to impress God enough to allow you in if you haven't first received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's just the truth. I can back it up in Scripture because there was a whole community called the Sanhedrin that was made up of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they knew the word from cover to cover. Yet when Jesus stood in front of them, no one knew who he was. And so we've got to remind ourselves there is such a thing as the true gospel. And it is that gospel that we need to stand firm in. Amen. Knowledge of the Son, knowledge of the church, knowledge of your identity. So how then, using Paul's letter to this church, how then can we stand firm in this day as the church did in its day? Well, number one, it says here that they were strengthened in the Holy Spirit. They were strengthened in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. I want to remind us all that Jesus went up to be with the Father and he said, wait until the Helper comes. We've got to stay, how do you stand firm? You stay in alignment with the Holy Spirit. You are strengthened by the work of the Holy Spirit. I love this. To the struggling church, Paul said, it is the Spirit of God. He reminded the church, it is the Spirit of God. That's where you get wisdom. That's where you get understanding. If anybody in this room is lacking wisdom, you just ask God for it through the power of the Holy Spirit, who he gives freely and to all people. Amen, somebody. I love this fact. At the end of this meeting this morning, we're going to pray for each and every person here. And it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in each individual that is praying for us all that this is able to take place. Amen. It is the same power. It's the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same Spirit. To live a life worthy of the Lord is to please God in every way by bearing fruit in every good work. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is what the Holy Spirit does within us. You're going to hear me throughout this year talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Why do I keep hammering on about this? Well, number one, we're a Pentecostal church. It's kind of on the top of the list, you know. It's like one of the key things that we major on here at, But the other thing is, that's what we need to do this thing called life. You cannot live this thing we call life or Christianity without the power of the Holy Spirit. Yet so many of us, we try. So many of us, oh, if I just do this for God, or if I just, you know, tick a few boxes, then God is happy with me. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life that guides you, that will lead you, that will direct you into the work you're supposed to do. It is His work in you. The book of Acts was the book of the work of the Holy Spirit. Not the work of the church, it was the work of the Holy Spirit. It was the work of the Holy Spirit directing each and every church member, from Stephen, from Peter, from John, from all the others, James, and then ultimately from to Paul as well, as one who was later adopted into the church. Does this make sense this morning? And in the same way, that is the power that is available to us all today. I've got to keep going. Is this okay? The second thing, how do you stand firm in this day? Be, number one, it's you've got to be strengthened in the Holy Spirit. Number two, be selective on who you are listening to. I want to remind you that Paul called himself an apostle, not because he was into titles. It was a reference to the authority that was given to him by the church. It was a reference to the authority that was given to him by Peter and by the other apostles that were present in his day. He was given this mantle as apostle, and he was given the authority. That's why Paul announced himself, and he said, I, the apostle, I'm an apostle. Why? Because I've been called by God and confirmed by the church. And it was Paul that had the authority to speak into the church family. Amen. You've got to be selective on who we listen to. You know, I one of the things that I did last year, which I'm so thankful for, is I got a bit of counseling. And already, well, jaws drop. I got a bit of counseling last year. I met with a counselor who was, praise God, also once was a senior pastor, and a really strong man of God. And I tell you, it was the most enjoyable counseling time I've spent. Was just offloading. I had somebody listen to everything I had to say. It was great. Okay. I was able to be honest. There was no pretense. There was no like, okay, now I've got to present myself as holy out there. No, I could just come as I am. I said, well, here's the struggles I'm facing. Here's the stuff I'm going through. Here's the things I'm confused about. Here's the things I'm frustrated about. Here's the things I'm angry about. What do you think? And because he was a counselor and he was trained, but he was also a pastor, he was able just to, I mean, you know, he was a pastor, you know, and he was able just to speak into those situations. Kept asking questions. I want to encourage us, you know, there are people that we need to look for in this year that would help us. Are you guys with me? But you got to be selective about who you choose. Because trust me, everybody's got an opinion. I was going to use the armpits line, but I won't, okay? But here's the other thing that qualified Paul. Number one, he was an apostle. The other thing that qualified Paul was he was an intercessor. It says here in verse 3 and verse 9, one who is praying for him or for the church, wants the very best, has the best in mind, has spiritual maturity. He said, we are praying for you. You got to find people that are actually going to pray for you. If they're not a prayer, listen to me. If they're not a prayer, I won't listen to them. Why is that? Because praying is an outward manifestation of the maturity in an individual. Are you hearing this morning? The third thing is this. What qualifies somebody to be able to listen to? Number one, an apostle. Number two, an intercessor. And number three, they are a servant. Verse 23. Paul finishes his letter in this first section by stating that not only was he an apostle, but he was also a servant. These are the people that I would listen to. Amen, somebody. Let me go to the last point. it says here, number one, be strengthened in the spirit. Number two, be selective in who you're listening to. Number three, be secure in your alignment with Christ. Verse 21, it says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. I want to remind us all that we are aligned. When we align ourselves with Christ, Christ is enough. Amen, somebody. Christ is enough. When you get tested this year, and you will, because that's what Scripture tells us, it reminds us you'll face tests and trials of many kinds, your faith will be tested. People will try and lure you with pressure. Oh, did God really say that? Did God really? Remember, that's how Satan operated that same way. Did God really say that? But Jesus came back with them with the same scriptures. It was scriptures and said, well, this is what the word says. It's alignment. Are you guys hearing this morning? I was going to invite the team back up. The irony of this message this morning is I'm talking about you and the importance of standing firm and standing firm in Christ. This church in Colossae, in 60 AD or there and thereabouts, which is around the same time Paul's letter was written, it had a major earthquake. It had destroyed the whole city. It destroyed the whole city. When the city was rebuilt, it would never be the same as it once was. But the church survived. The city was destroyed. Those opposing voices, those deceptive voices who were communicating a false gospel, they didn't survive, but the church survived. That was the amazing thing. Oh, are you guys hearing this morning? Christ is enough. Amen, somebody. Come on, say that to yourself. Christ is enough. Christ is enough. This year, I want you to be 100% secure in your alignment with Christ. I want to say to you, if you're aligned with Christ, you have everything you need. He's your firm foundation. He's your rock that will not be moved. He's your shield in the storm. He's your covering. He's the one that stands with you, will fight for you. Come on. No weapon formed against you will prosper. You're more than a conqueror. Through the blood that was spilt on that cross, it defeated sin and death once and for all. That you now do not have to live under condemnation and guilt, but you can be set free. Amen, somebody. Christ is enough. Christ is enough. I love this. In verse 15, it says that the Son is the invisible image of God. Later on, it says he's the fullness of God. If you ever want to know what God is like, if you ever want to know what God looks like, you look at the Son. He is the full representation of the Father. Nothing that Christ did, God did not endorse. But he did everything that the Father wanted him to do. Are you hearing this morning? Christ is enough.
This has been another great message from Elim Church, Christchurch City. For more content and updates, come see us on our Facebook page or jump over to our website. Thanks so much for listening.